continuing our study from the time that he was called, when he was a fisherman by the sea. The Lord walked by Peter and several others and said, come. He didn't say, if you come. He didn't say, if you will. He said, come. And when a king speaks with anything, he speaks with authority. When a king says, come, who has the power that Christ Jesus the Lord has, men come. When he said to John Reeves, come, John Reeves came to Rescue Baptist Church and heard his word preached. He's done the same thing to each and every one of you. Whether it be at Rescue or wherever you heard the gospel preached for the first time. And this path that Peter is on from the time that he was called to follow the Lord, of which he, Peter, immediately followed, hearing the word of power, the efficacious calling. This path has now brought us to the final days that our great Lord has to walk on this earth. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And we left off in verse 20, verse 19, 18, and 17, where the Lord initiated the Lord's Supper, a supper that is to be followed by God's saints throughout time, reminding us of the work that was done at the cross. And now we read in verse 21, but behold, our Lord says, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it were determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. Notice that it said, and truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, as it was predetermined, as it was God's plan. It was never plan B for God to go to the cross. It was always plan A. God's plans don't have a plan B. When our Lord plans something, it happens exactly how he wants it. He's God. This one who would betray the Lord is a servant of God, just as you and I are. Just as everything that is created serves the purpose of our God, so is this one who betrayed God. And the Lord says in verse 23, and they, speaking of the apostles, speaking of the disciples, began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Here our Lord is sitting at the table with his disciples, and he is enjoying a meal. Yet the Lord reveals it one, and he's telling these dear brothers and sisters, I'm about to suffer death for you. I'm about to go to the cross. This bread is a picture of my body that will be torn, ripped, beaten, spit upon for you. This cup that we're about to drink is a picture of the blood that I'm going to shed for you, because your blood is unworthy. Instead of sitting there as you and I are able to do right this moment and think, oh, the wonder of his grace, the wonder of his love for us, they bickered. Who is this one who shall betray you, Lord? I'd like to quote from Brother Don Fortner, a comment for this section of God's Word. He says, we often try to make comparisons between material, earthly things, and spiritual, heavenly things. But there's one great problem with all such comparisons. They simply cannot be made. Any rule or principle that is taken from the natural realm and applied to the spiritual realm must be reversed. In the natural realm, success is measured by gain. In the spiritual world, success is measured by loss. You want to hear something that proves that? Matthew 16:25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. That's the Lord Jesus speaking himself. In the natural world, Don goes on to write, wealth is gained and measured by what a man is able to gain and save. In the spiritual world, wealth is gained and measured by what he gives. And to prove that, we can read in Proverbs 19:17, Proverbs 11, Proverbs 22, Luke 6, and many, many more. He goes on to say, in the natural things, a self-made man is admired. But in the spiritual things, a self-made man is condemned. You can read about that in Romans 4, verses 4 and 5. In the natural things, ambition and aggressiveness, Don goes on to say, are looked upon as commendable things. But in the kingdom of God, they are deplorable things. Natural men are admired who strive for advancement and promotion, but the Spirit of God teaches us to strive for abasement and servitude. End of quote. Our God humbled himself, folks, and became the servant of servants. And that also is a quote from Don Fortner. Is it not a wonderful thing that God would set examples such as this out for us to learn from that we're reading about right here? Our Lord sits at the table declaring his works for the people that he loves, for his people. And what do they that sit at the table with him do? Is it me? Is it me that will betray you, Lord? Am I not the best of your disciples here? Am I not the one who sins less than anyone else? Don't tell me it doesn't go through your mind, those very same thoughts. If it doesn't, then I'm alone. It bothers me that in my flesh I do the same. It bothers me that in the flesh I would be right there with those who said, crucify him, crucify him. But for the grace of God, there go I. Peter and the other disciples were learning firsthand from the Lord himself. But all of Scripture, everything that is written in this book from front cover to back, is for our learning and for our admonition. We're not reading these words about these men who sat at the table as though they are somebody over here sitting in the front of the pew. We're reading these words as if it was us. As if it was our very being sitting there with our Lord, we would do the very same thing. Do these words not bear witness to our own hearts? Can we not see our own actions in the flesh, or at the very least, our thoughts, as we see these brothers right now? Lord, Lord, is it me? Am I not one who loves the Lord? Am I not one who shows up every Sunday for service? Am I not one who comes to Bible study and takes joy in looking into the Word? Surely he must be speaking about another, not me. Turn over, if you would, to the 13th chapter of Matthew, please. Amen. Our Lord has a lesson for us. As we look at this front pew over here and see these very men that the Lord is telling us about, squibbling among themselves about who is better. And we think, no, it can't be us. It can only be those right there. Our Lord has a lesson for all of us to learn right here in Matthew chapter 13. Would you read with me beginning at verse 1? And we're going to read a lot of scripture. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Folks, we don't know. I think I know a little bit about my wife. I've lived with her for 43 years. I think I know a little bit about Bill. I've been friends with him for over 20. I think I know a little bit about you folks. But I really don't know your hearts. Even my own wife. I don't know your hearts. It's not my job to know your hearts. It's not my job to go in and take the chaff out of the wheat. Our Lord will send his men to do that, his angels to do that. Continue reading, if you would, in verse 10. And the disciples came, and they said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered, and he said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It's not given unto the whole world to know the mysteries of heaven. Israel was the only, the Jewish people, they were the only ones God favored in those days. A picture of God's people throughout time. Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Do you see how the Lord takes you and I on a path that brings us to His grace? We could be just like the ones He was just talking about. We could have ears that do not hear. We could have eyes that do not see. Our hearts could be waxed gross, shut up. But blessed are your eyes. Oh, for the grace of God, there go we. For we deserve the same as them, but our Lord has taken what we deserve upon himself. Verse 17, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. And then he goes on to emphasize more of what he just pointed out about the tares and the wheat. He says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bring forth some hundredfold, and some 60, and some 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in the field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Do you see the correlation here between the men who sat at the Lord's table and the men and the man who betrayed our Lord and Savior? It is God who looks upon the hearts. Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye, go. Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then another parable in verse 31. Put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. And another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven which a woman took and hid in the measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multiple in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And then Jesus sent the multitude away. Catch this now. After doing what he just did, after teaching the multitudes, what did he do? He sent them away, and he went into the house, And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Now we've read all that to get to this. And he, our Lord, said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Judas of Iscariot was not there by accident. He too was a servant of God, just as you and I are. The wicked, folks, just as the righteous in Christ, were created to serve our Lord. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, where there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Folks, our Lord sends out a warning to all of his people. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says this, Examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. When we look to remove a thorn from a friend's eye, we must first remove the log in our own. And when we go to remove that log and look at what it takes, we'll not have time to consider the righteousness of others. We'll not have time to bicker about who's better in the kingdom of God. You see, the only way to get past our log is to see the righteousness that is in Christ our Savior. Are you standing on His righteousness? Or are you leaning on your own flesh? Christ is the solid rock that we can stand on. I urge you, when those feelings rise up inside of you, and I'm speaking to myself, when those thoughts rise up inside of ourselves to think about these men sitting at the front pew right here bickering among themselves about who is better, who is the one, who is this, that's between them and God. Deal with yourself. Deal with your own log. And as I said a moment ago, the only way to get past that log in my eye is to look to my Savior. Amen.